Hey, you found me, and I'm so glad you did. I have a lot of fun over here at A Juicy Pear Podcast. I love interviewing people from all walks of life, and I especially like what makes a person tick. I ask the questions that people want to hear. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey, this is Wendy with the Juicy Pear Podcast, and I'm very excited about our guest today. Her name is Izzy Nally. She is a business strategist and a hypnotherapist, and she's also an author. She's a fellow author. We did a book together called Triumph Over Trauma, and I'm super excited to have her here. Hey, Izzy.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes, thank you for having me. And yeah, I was thinking as I was coming on, I was like, man, Juicy Pear, where did you get that name for a juicy pear? And the reason I ask is because my now 11-year-old, which I have a 15, 11, and a 2-year-old. Oh, so that's a whole story in itself. But my now 11-year-old, when he was like 3 or 4, he ranted and raved about wanting a pear party. And like, I heard pear party for months. And
that's so specific. It's so cool.
So we like went Pinterest crazy and we had a pear themed party.
I love that so much. Yeah, I get that from a lot of people. How did you come up with the juicy pear? So it was about 3 years ago during COVID. It was my friend Sean and I. I wanted to start a podcast and I kind of talked her into it. You know, she was with for the first year of it. And then she's like, you know what? This is your baby. I'm going to, you know, this isn't really my wheelhouse. I'm going to go on to other things. And that was perfectly fine. Yeah. So I came up with like 50 different names. I liked pears because it was different. It's interesting. And I want like juicy story, juicy pear. And as far as like graphics and marketing and things like that, you could do a lot of different things with it. So
pear. I love it. I love it. Well, I mean, like pears are elegant. Pears are fragile. They are juicy.
They are.
Not everybody likes pears, but that's pears
right.
are wonderful.
That's right. Yeah. You have to have a certain taste for it. So, and I didn't want to, you know, have a certain genre for the podcast. I wanted all different topics. Yeah. I go on entrepreneurs and, you know, creatives, authors, but then I love the paranormal slant, like psychics and
paranormal. Is that,
there you go.
Okay.
You see where I'm going with this, Izzy.
I do. It's clever. I love it. Well, like, and marketing is definitely one of my, like, I love it. Like, I cannot explain how much I love getting into like creativity within marketing.
Oh my God. Like, okay.
Hearing other people's businesses and going, Oh, I got ideas. And like, just like vomiting all the ideas all over them. And they're like, okay, now which one?
Okay. So I guess I'm going to, you know what? I was just thinking, light bulb went off. So my third book, I'm working on my third book.
Okay.
And I might need you to market it. Yes, I might need your services to market it.
We're going to put those pears all over everything too. Yeah.
I can't wait to get the book done. Just a little side note, I have been working on this thing for 2 years. In the last 5 months, I've been hunkering down and letting everything else go really in the house. The house looks like a haunted house. There's just dust everywhere. But everything.
But that's how it goes though. Like writing a book, like so many people want to do it, but so many people don't because they don't realize how much work and like energy on so many different levels go into a book.
There's so much to it. You're an author.
Yeah.
We're together with this book. It's called Triumph Over Trauma. With authors from all around the world, we got selected to do a short story for this anthology book that, by the way, made best-selling author.
Best-selling.
And it's available on Amazon right now. So yeah, that was exciting. But, you know.
It was. I had to lock myself in a room for a day. So, and that was for one chapter.
Yeah.
So you're writing an entire book. If you don't go lock yourself in a room somewhere, right? Like we hear about these authors that go like get a hotel room for the weekend or they like disappear into a cabin for a week.
Right.
And just like,
because you have
plow
to
through. Right. Yeah. Like, so it's only natural that you've had to let everything else go because you do have to put a ton of focus and energy into the book.
You did. Yeah. And I have other things going on as you do. You know, it's like I have a part-time job. I have kids. Actually, it's my younger set of twins' birthday today. They're going to be 17, which I can't believe.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, twins.
Oh, thank you. But it's just, you know, you dive into that world, dialed in. You don't want to leave and stop when you're in the middle of the creative flow, right? You get in that flow. It takes a while to get there, but once you get in, you don't want to get out. I mean, I've like 2-3 hours. I'm like, I got to step away from this laptop. My walk. Anyway, I'm almost done with it. I'm in the, you know, going back and forth with editing. Editing is the absolute worst.
This is why we pay people to be editors.
I know. I did. And I'm making my changes.
And then you have to go back.
I might have to have her do a second pass. Yeah. I don't know. Mm. But anyway.
But and you touched on something really important is that getting into the creative flow, like that's where so many people, I think, whether it be working on their business, working on a passion project, working on a book, we try to like schedule some time to do the work.
Yeah.
And we forget to schedule in the time that we need to get into creative mode.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things where you can just put an hour on your schedule. And I hate this because so many people feel like they're failing or there's something wrong with them, but we've been not taught or we've been taught the wrong way to go about it. It's not approached in the same way that you go complete a physical task.
Yeah.
Mental, emotional task, such as like pouring in creativity, requires probably taking an hour or 30 minutes or an hour to relax, to let yourself just numb out into something. And when I say numb out, that doesn't mean like Netflix.
No.
But like really
in that right frame of mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To lay on the floor and just twiddle your thumbs, to be bored in some way. A lot of times we don't allow ourselves boredom.
Yeah.
I love like bored. Like go for a drive, go for a walk on a treadmill, go for a walk around and don't just keep putting a screen, a distraction in front of your face.
Yeah.
I was started writing my first book by walking around the neighborhood and just talk to text my thoughts into a Google document. And then by the time the walk was done, I was inspired. I was motivated. I'd come back. I'd sit at my desk and then I'd start editing.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So much more done that way.
You brought up two fantastic points. I've never thought of this. If you schedule an hour, let's say you schedule an hour to do your business or get things done or write, you're not necessarily in the right frame of mind in that hour. You have to give yourself time to be open to creative things that come in. Yeah, that's
well. So going into I'm a big spiritual like person and
oh, so am I.
It's how do you go from being a spiritual yogi into getting your MBA? That's always like fun conversation. But so as below, as above, so below. And if we look at like the tree and there's like the yin and the yang. And I love the visual of the like black and white tree on top and then the inverted black and white tree on the bottom.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love those trees.
I love. Yeah, I do too. My youngest is named Willow. So yes, I love trees. And I went to like my high school was called Walden after Walden Pond and it was a tree as well. So
okay, nice.
But this energy of masculine and feminine, the upper tree is the masculine, which is more of our head and our headspace energy. The heart is the bridge. And then those lower chakras are our feminine energy, which the majority of our body is actually feminine energy or earth energy. And the shorter portion is our masculine energy. Yeah. And most of the day we are functioning from beta brainwaves in our masculine energy. And so if we sit down and we try to schedule creative time in 1 hour, that's our masculine brain saying, just squeeze it in.
So that's more, would you say like the analytical side of thinking?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. That's totally not me. I'm way out there.
But overthinking as well, that like trying to do anything and everything and to be everything to everyone. And like all of that is still, it's scattered energy.
It is. And it's so hard to, when you're not grounded, when you're scattered like that and not grounded, it's really hard to come up with things that you want to see in print, you know?
Yes.
I recently lost someone that was important to me. And so I've been going through grief. So I've been trying to think of things to, you know, help with the grief. And they said one of the things is to treat yourself well, right?
Yes.
And I love to exercise, and I haven't been able to run because my feet and limbs just aren't what they used to be. I mean, I do run, but not nearly as much as I used to. But I just joined the Y and I've been swimming, and it really helps. And I go sit in the whirlpool a little bit. And you know, that those kinds of things, when you're feeling good, then you can come from more of a place to create, you know. If you're not feeling good, if you're feeling angry, I mean, you can't write when you're angry, or you can't do what, you know, it's just, it's not productive.
You can, but the delivery is going to be different.
Yeah.
And so we have to also think about, like, what is the purpose of what we're creating, and how do we want people to receive it?
So they won't like it, because they'll be like, oh, this isn't coming from a good place.
Right. Or you're going to attract people who are also angry.
Right. Yeah. You don't want that.
But I love that you're getting into water, because water is so healing for our emotional side of ourself.
Water is my favorite element. Always has been. I've always loved to swim. I learned to swim at quite a young age. I don't really have a fear of water. Never have. And I just love it. And yeah, I love water, and it is so healing. And I didn't realize that. Yeah.
That was one of the reasons they chose water for the cover of Triumph Over Trauma.
I love the cover. Lisa Marie and Divya, right? They just such a fantastic job with that cover, guys. If you want an uplifting read, definitely Triumph Over Trauma. It's available on Amazon right now. And yeah, just when I first saw the cover, and you're in graphic design too, right? Because you were like, oh, yes. I hope it's good.
I was gonna totally critique. I would have been in the background making a new one for them and sending it if I didn't like it.
But the colors, everything, just on point. Absolutely.
Well, it was kind of like that dark soul of the night. So it had that midnight approach, because so many of us, the trauma that we've triumphed, we can either let it define us, or we tend to like kind of push it in the back and we don't talk about it. But it's also the foundation of who we've became, who we are at the same time. Like I tell people, gosh, and at 33, I had gotten my fourth degree and I had got my MBA.
Fantastic. tell us all your degrees.
So the first two,
I have one. What the heck?
Right. And I say that thing because it's important for people to understand that that is not me trying to like be better than someone else or to brag. It's a showcase of like, that was my coping mechanism.
Yeah. That was you fighting with yourself. Coping
strategy. Yes. That was me exiting and having a safe place to escape from everything that was going on at home. Sure. And so my first degree turned into two degrees because I did a bachelor's program for like ever.
Oh, God. Because I kept switching majors. I kept switching them.
I did. Well, because I was wrestling a lot with like what I was worthy of when I was in my other undergrad.
Okay.
And so I originally started out with like architecture and anthropology, and like I wanted to do like forensic anthropology, and I really started loving biology. I know, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I was learning so much about culture, and I love culture and the mindsets and how we develop, and it was really the psychology behind understanding people, and there were so many aspects to it. I think that's what really attracted me to it. And I was having my own health journey at the time, and I really decided, I was like, no, I'm gonna go be a doctor. I went pre-med. And okay. I mean, I was
that genetic. Is quite a commitment.
It is. Genetic biology. I was working in the ER. My God. I mean, I was really full into it. And at the same time, I was also like, I had a baby and I really had this passion for yoga. And
you like having a lot of hats in the air like I do. You like having a lot going on.
I am a passionate person and I don't know how to say no. So I'm like, we will do it all.
Right.
But it was really interesting because I was finding all these bits and pieces. And as more and more I started touring the medical school, I started seeing how the pharmaceutical companies were coming in and feeding them. They were giving pizza and
Oh my God.
They were memorizing flow charts of which medications to prescribe more. They were learning the source of the problem. And I really started getting turned off by that. So I went to the sports medicine route. And so I learned exercise science. I had a degree in exercise science and a degree in public health education.
Fantastic.
Starting to really.
Fantastic. Decide. Fantastic. Yeah. I'd be like, I've got this degree. I've got that degree.
Right. Well, like, but I was fine. I was really searching for solutions to problems. That's really what it was. Okay. And I was diving into this realm of solution searching and really trying to like solve really big problems. I didn't get a no. So I just kept going.
And you probably solved all their problems, but you still probably felt, I'm overstepping here, but you still felt that hole, I bet, inside you, like, oh, wow, this isn't getting filled up. What is,
Because you're pushing it down. In the midst of that, like I had this very traumatic childhood that like no one told me was traumatic. It was just my normal. But when I would speak about it, people would be like, oh, like I'm watching some reality TV show while they're listening to me, or think they would accuse me of making it up in school and stuff. And I was like,
No,
I'm not making this up. I'm not that creative. But so I had grown up in this. And at the same time, I had also selected I don't even want to give them the credit of partner. I had selected a mate.
I dated a lot of frogs prior to getting married. Oh my God. Yeah.
So my mom had my biological mom, she had been married about 7 times.
Oh boy.
She had quite a colorful background. And so when I selected this person, I was doing better than my mom. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what healthy and not healthy relationships were.
Right.
So I was living this very unhealthy home life, and I was getting to live the real me at school, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I got to just like be a detective and be an adventurer. And so I went down that path as I really started developing my own yoga business and working with people. I started being exposed to other people and their problems and realizing other people's problems were this big while mine were this big. So it gave me perspective.
I kind of grew up in a chaotic environment as well. I think we were talking off recording.
Yeah.
And it forces you to grow up really quickly. And it forces you to have your feelers out like with the outside world just so you can prepare yourself.
You observe more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it turns on our observing sensors more. Yeah.
And I think you're also more empathic because you can understand the unfortunate human experience and you don't want to.
And adaptive too, right? Because you know, people like that, you can't talk to them like that because it'll set them off. So you knew how to avoid triggers.
Oh yeah. Sidestepping, like doing a tap dance.
Yeah.
Like there's no tomorrow. Oh yeah.
Well, which really led me into getting a degree in yoga therapy and really approaching it from that point. And it's very trauma informed, and all the certifications that led up to that point were because I was calling myself a yoga therapist and they were like, do you actually know that's a real degree? Like, and I was like, no, is it?
Oh.
Because I was like, I had accumulated all this information. Yeah. I pretty much put myself through, created my own schooling.
Right.
So I went and pursued this. And in the midst of doing that, I was studying hypnotherapy and studying all these other modalities. So again, I was collecting and making my own education. And at the end of that, just to make it even capped off as far as how much one can hold in their brain, I decided I'm not finished with yoga therapy, but I'm going to go ahead and enroll in the MBA. And so I did a 13-month MBA program.
Oh, my word.
This was literally pulling off the side of the road on the way home because I was crying so hard I couldn't drive because I was so stressed out.
Because you got yourself so in so many things. You didn't have any time to decompress ever, probably.
No. And at the same time, that I'd already been divorced. I'd gotten myself in another relationship. This relationship was better in some ways, but far worse than others. And and really, I had this moment where I was like, okay, I need to make enough money to support me and my kids.
Yeah.
And I never want to rely on a man for money ever again. I had so much fire in the pit of my stomach that I would suck it up and I would push through. And I was like, this is temporary. And that is what I kept telling myself. This is temporary.
Yeah.
shortly after I finished the MBA program, whatnot, like I was making more money than I'd ever made. I mean, I went from making like 10 to 15,000 to making over 100,000.
Fantastic. And what was that in your marketing?
So that was, I had put myself out there and I had been creating all these trainings and doing all this training stuff that I was like, oh, I'm a professional. I know how to create trainings. I know how to help facilitate trainings. All of this stuff. I've been studying it forever.
Yeah.
I would not take no for an answer. I was being very persistent. I got the
job.
Quite
a go-getter. Yeah.
I waited out. I went 3 months with almost no pay because I was like, no, I'm getting this job. This job, I'm not taking anything less. I'm going to be paid this amount. I'm taking this. I waited. I was persistent. I got it. And I was working 30 hours a week, not even 40. And I was
persistence is key.
And believing that it's coming, believing that it's there, and not just passively waiting, but like actively waiting and pursuing and continuing to build. And it became contract after contract, and I would be on contracts and people were like, oh, we need her. And they would pull me off that contract and put me on another one. And it was fantastic. And I actually got the time to rest. I got the time to enjoy life, but I had to prioritize that where I was like, no, I will have a vacation every year.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Take
time to meditate. And I even did, it was like every day at 2 o'clock, my calendar was blocked and I would lay down and I would do yoga nidra and I would meditate every morning. And I would tell myself, I wake up every morning at 6 a.m. and I meditate. I wake up every morning at 6 a.m. and meditate. And I said it until it became true. And we have to be very persistent in taking control of our own lives. And any time in my life that I have kind of sunk back down and started the, well, I don't know. And
well, that's, I think that can happen with anybody. I mean, you can have doubts for sure. I mean, we're all human and it's hard being a human. it really is. I mean, life can throw just a wrench into your life.
Oh, I've gotten plenty of them.
I'm same.
Well, and those wrenches though, it's an opportunity. So one thing I've learned in Kabbalah training has been anytime a challenge comes along, we pause and we say, what a pleasure, because it's an opportunity to either fall into our humanness or be the light.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And one of my teachers told me, it was last week, and he was like, Izzy, if someone's having a bad day, does the sun stop shining? And I'm like, no. Why would you allow someone else's energy? You have to allow it. Allow someone else's energy to sway you from being unconditionally happy.
Oh, it's so easy to do though. It's so easy to let that energy in because it's like, especially if you're working.
Because we don't know any different. If we've never been shown, led, taught, if we've never experienced it before, that becomes a lot harder.
Yeah. So you have these certificates, you've done the yoga nidra. Could you kind of explain a little bit what is? I would love that because you do that and you're a hypnotherapist. Oh my word. Yeah.
If
you
can
get into that a little bit.
Yoga nidra is the original, and I mean original form of hypnosis. It is actually called yoga sleep. So you lay down, you get your most juicy comfortablest-ness. So you're like laying on a yoga mat, you've got a bolster under your legs, you've got an eye pillow on your eyes,
you've got a
blanket. Like, I mean, you're just like fully ready because you're going to be laying on the floor for 45 to 60 minutes. And if you're not your most comfortable, that those physical sensations can pull you out of
absolutely.
The meditation. So getting your most comfortable, this is laying down. It is not done sitting up. It is going through the mind as if the mind is a maze. And we're going through the mind to get to the heart, to get to the soul. And generally within yoga nidra, we start with like fully relaxation. We go through what's called the koshas. So
koshas?
So there are the five koshas, and these are the sheath layers of our physical, our conscious, our chronic, our soul level, to get to what is the center, which is the bliss body, which is us at our purest, most soul level of us.
Love it.
And that these layers are formed and different layers become thicker and things like that.
Right.
So we first go through the physical. So we just focus on the notice your physical sensations. Then we get to noticing the breath. Then we're going into the conscious. Then we're going into the subconscious. Then going into your deeper, like, soul energetic layers. And we do this through a very specific process that makes it yoga nidra. And in fact, there's been more and more studies done on yoga nidra because the yogis claimed that 1 hour of yoga nidra was equivalent to 4 hours of sleep.
Oh, okay.
So they did studies. It's true, scientifically proven.
Wow.
It's also the most effective therapy for PTSD.
I just feel like there are so many distractions nowadays. So many that to get to that state, you would have to join a group or be a part of something that you'd have to be held accountable, because otherwise, you know, sidetracked.
For sure. Well, and that's the scarcity, right? Scarcity is all around us. Most marketing gives us scarcity. So we're fed scarcity at all times. Our attention rate is diminishing because of scrolling. We now have an attention span shorter than a goldfish. We're at 6 seconds now. So you have 6 seconds to grab someone's attention.
Right.
Getting ourselves out of scarcity through the relaxation response, which is documented by Herbert Benson. He's a MD with Harvard Medical School. He started this whole study of saying that we can heal ourselves. And we have to get out of scarcity in order to get into abundance, to create from abundance, to any of this. It's the same concept of getting ourselves into creativity mode. Like we have to relax. And yoga nidra is the fastest way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I that is so important. I wanted to touch on, too, what we were talking about earlier about pharmacies. There's a really good documentary on Netflix about that, and I can't think of the name of it now. Very eye opening. It was like during, it was just a few years ago when OxyContin was, you know, everybody overdosing on that. It was like a story about the pharmaceutical rep and how she was just, you know, kind of hypnotized by all the rewards she would get depending upon how many clients she would get. And then the dose rate of what they would get, you know, the higher the dose, the more that you would get rewarded for that. And I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, it's sales. It's sales. And not all sales are bad.
No, absolutely not. No, but
easy to sell something when it's a quick fix, because everyone wants a quick fix.
Sure, sure. Life is hard. And there's some things, there's some really steep roadblocks that people go through. And of course, it would be, you know, you want to feel good. You want to feel pleasure. Everybody does. You want to feel joy. You want to leave the world for a while. You know, I mean, I can understand it for sure. But
especially when you're in pain, right? Because that's who we're typically, people that buy stuff and buy a lot of quick fixes are people that are in pain.
Yeah.
When we are in pain, we want someone to fix us.
Well, sure.
We're giving away our power to say, please fix me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we are then trusting someone else to do something and to do it quick.
And they're not going to know you as you do. Trusting an outside source. You got to go within. And I hate that saying too, go within, but it is true. It's just,
well, it's so much easier than what people think though. It really is. We have just had so much conditioning, like rapid transformation therapy, hypnosis and hypnotherapy. It's like, I can get someone results. Like if you're like, I'm overeating, well, let's get to the root of your overeating. And then we're going to reverse that. And we're going to solve that within 90 minutes.
Wow. Like,
but you have to go within.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do some deep work. And I tell people, you're going to cry. You're going to cry a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be really overwhelming at one point, and then we're going to get onto the other side of that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm addicted to sugar. I mean, I really am. I mean, I've tried. I don't know if it's good to like completely get rid of one food group completely. I think it's impossible, and then you always come back to it a little bit. But I think that's what I did a few years ago. I tried to completely cut out sugar, and I was like, I had the shakes. I'm like, I am like addicted to it. And I know I am. And I'm trying to.
It's our biggest drug in America.
I know. I wouldn't mind losing like 10 pounds, And then I hear about Ozempic and, or I probably said that wrong or whatever. I'm like, oh, that would be kind of cool because I'm at an age now I could run around the block for hours and probably gain 2 pounds. It's like,
It's stress and how we manage our stress because we're not typically taught ways to manage our stress properly. Why? Because when we're stressed and when we are addicted to all these things, guess what? We spend more money. Or we look outside of ourselves. And why we eat so much sugar is because we get emotional. It makes us feel good. It lights our brain up just like heroin
does. Absolutely.
I mean, it has the same chemical brain response as heroin. So when we have an emotion, and we've done plenty of psychological studies within my university on this, within the mindfulness realm and, and implementing these things where people are trying to avoid pain. So they put up a barrier. And then whatever's coming in keeps hitting the barrier. And we're like, why won't it? Why won't it? So we try to do more. So we build the barrier up thicker and thicker.
You're like in a continuous holding pattern. You're not going to get to the heart of the problem. And you're always wondering why. So I'm like, okay, well, then you're going to numb yourself and do these things. Like, I don't feel good. So
When, if we could just let ourselves experience the feeling. And this is what I had to do when I was losing my first amount, like I was losing 60 pounds. And this is what I did.
Oh, that's amazing.
Every time
congratulations.
I
that's no small feat. Oh my goodness.
Thank you. Well, that was after the first, that was after the second baby. 10 years later, now I had another one. So I'm going through this and I even made a post last week. I was like, I lost 10 pounds this past week. And people are like, what did you do? And I was like, I sat with my emotions. That's what I did. I didn't allow myself to go numb out or to be in avoidance. I allowed myself to feel. I allowed myself to cry. I allowed myself to release. And that's what I had to do the first time is I'd get the craving and I'd have to sit down and it was super uncomfortable. It was super uncomfortable to experience all those like emotions and have to just sit with them. But guess what? It only took 5 minutes.
Wow.
That's 5 minutes of feeling the uncomfortable emotions. Or I could do what I was doing and I'd pace the house for 20 minutes, keep looking in the refrigerator, waiting for chocolate to magically appear in the refrigerator. Man. Checking every cabinet. And I mean, I would look like a drug addict.
Oh my God.
My house trying to find something somewhere.
Well, a little chocolate's good. I don't know if I could completely cut it off.
Well, I did. I switched to the like 75 or 80% cacao chocolate. That's good for you.
Yes, it is.
And you only eat like this much of it and you'll be like, okay, I've had enough.
Okay. Yeah. I hear you. I know I want to have you on the show again, but I want to touch on, this is totally a different topic, but we were talking about our parents and you said your dad was a bodyguard at the Kentucky Derby. I'm going to have you on again when we can dive into more of that, but I can't imagine the stories that you had because there's celebrities and stuff that I'm sure that he bumped into or, you know, he talked with.
Well, my dad's not too much of a gossiper. I'd say he's a very professional person, but yes. So my dad was a police officer. My grandpa was a police officer as well, which ironically, my grandpa adopted my dad and then my grandpa like helped raise me. Long story there. Okay. My life would be completely different if it wasn't for my grandpa. But he couldn't have kids, so he often fostered and adopted. So my dad became a police officer because my grandpa was a great role model. And we live in Louisville, Kentucky. So we are home of the Kentucky Derby and Derby is like the big thing. And so my dad and one of his friends, they would bodyguard at the Kentucky Derby. And I think my dad's friend, he had bodyguard for Arnold Schwarzenegger, ironically.
Oh, fantastic. Wow, that's cool.
But my dad had been for multiple years the bodyguard of Wonder Woman.
And Linda Carter?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And I remember like, of course, then he'd get the videos out so that we could watch the videos. Yeah. So that we know how cool dad really was because dad was bodyguarding this person. But, you know, it was interesting. Like, he was always more stressed out during that time, but he was also in like a unique mood where he was like, it was fun, but it was also stressful. Because we have a lot of celebrities that come in for that. It's become pretty pretty amazing. Like even the Airbnbs or house rentals before Airbnb was a thing, we did here because people would come in town and like, they'd be like, rent my house out for $1,000.
Wow. Yeah. They're all descending upon the town. They're all wearing really cool hats. Now I have to say, do you go to the Kentucky Derby?
I have actually, surprisingly, never been to the Kentucky Derby. Man. I've been to Churchill Downs. Mother's Day is actually the best day to go to Churchill Downs.
Okay.
Because everyone wears everything they just wore to the Derby, they wear for Mother's Day again.
Nice.
But yeah, the fascinators and the hats. I mean, look, the cheapest you can get something is $150. And that's normally like a rinky dink little fascinator.
Is there like a lot of hat shops around your area?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice. I want to come down sometime and we can go to Churchill Downs together, sipping on a mint julep with our fancy hats.
Yes. Mimosas, mint juleps. Oh, yeah.
I would love to go there. I just think that it's just so cool. There's just an interesting tradition there that I really like. I don't know. I don't know if it's just the whole, I bet the vibe there is just very fun.
It's elevated. It's really unique because Louisville's this weird, we're this in between where we're still kind of northern, but we have still a lot of this southern charm. And like brunch is a big, big deal.
Big deal. Okay.
Big deal. We have lots of restaurants that are only open from like 7 to 2. Brunch is all that they do.
I love brunch. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, we've got this one. Oh my gosh. It's like they've got this omelet with mushrooms and truffle oil and goat cheese. And it's mouthwatering.
Say no more. Think of a marketing like summit or something that you, so I can go down there.
we're actually putting one together. So I have a local business as well as an online business.
Okay.
It's a women's only style business. And because Louisville actually has one of the highest success rates in the country of women owned businesses and locally owned businesses being primarily prevalent here in our city. We have the Louisville Weird.
Love it.
And we have like a higher rate. Like we have like 46% of businesses here are women owned.
I love it.
Just higher than national. I'm working on putting together a retreat. So there's this place that has like a waterfall, like a natural waterfall and everything. And we're going to do a full day business retreat. You can spend 2 nights and we're just going to go over like how to take your business to the next level.
I love it. Well, Izzy, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. You're just so fun and easy to talk to. And I appreciate your patience because I had a little technical difficulties earlier.
Yeah.
My computer needed to be updated, but you've just been lovely. Give yourself a plug. Let people know where they can find you. Where they can get your books and things. Let people know.
Yeah, definitely connect with me on Facebook or LinkedIn. Those are where I'm primarily at. Of course, I have a presence on Instagram, but I'm not normally there. So Facebook, Nally, Nally, Izzy, Izzy. Connect with me. Let's be friends. I'm on more on the intimate level. So like, yes, send me an actual friend request. Send me a real DM. Let's have some voice convos. I am not one of those where it's like, I'm just going to put up a bunch of stuff and you can never actually contact me.
Oh, I hate that. I'm that way too. I love to have the real connection, the real messages. And I'm not afraid of people like friending me on Facebook. Fine. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I do I just did the 7-day social media challenge, which I do multiple times a quarter. And I got on the phone with someone or on a Zoom and to do an audit, which I'm like, I offer free audits, like jump on. And she was like, oh my gosh, you're real. I was like, I am a real person.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm definitely going to have you on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, I'll see you later. Have a great week.
Take care of yourself. Hey, thank you for listening, and I'm so glad you're here. I had so much fun and hope you enjoyed this episode. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to my website, ajuicypearpodcast.com. See you there. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy, and you just listened to another episode of A Juicy Pear Podcast. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And I would love it if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Each week, I have new content and I love talking with creatives. Tell your friends and family. And if you're feeling led, hey, you can buy me a coffee on ajuicypearpodcast.com.